Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Now, many years ago, there was a man. And we don't know too much about this man, except that in all likelihood, he was a very ordinary person like you and I. But his story represents the story of many like him. We can safely assume that he grew up like most boys around him. He went to school. He learned about God. He learned the word of God. He probably picked up the trade of his father, which meant he could have been a farmer or a fisherman, maybe even a carpenter. He probably got married, had kids, worked hard to support them, and he had family and friends. And even though it was a difficult and volatile economic and political climate at the time, they still had hope that God would turn things around for them. Then one day, he realized that his feelings of tiredness had increased quite a lot. He started noticing that the aches and pains in his joints were increasing. And he tried to dismiss it. It was probably nothing. He wasn't going to tell anyone about it because he didn't want to have them worry about him. And he was sure that if he just, you know, when things settled down a bit, he could take a bit of a breather. He was probably just working too hard, that's all. But then slowly, over time, scaly white patches of dry and dying skin appeared on his arms, his face, his hands. And he tried to cover it up. He tried to hide it as best he could, but eventually he couldn't do that anymore. He had to admit the truth to himself because he realized he had the dreadful, incurable disease of leprosy. The word leprosy meant that he was now on a road, a slow, agonizing journey towards death. And there was the pain of having to share this with his family and his friends. He had to pack his bags. He had to go away for good. And he could see it in their eyes. They didn't say anything, but he could see it in the way that they slowly backed away from him when he told them, how they made sure they didn't touch him again. And he knew what they were thinking. What terrible sin had he committed that God would curse him like this? Because everybody knew, didn't they, that only the worst of sinners got cursed by God in this way, with leprosy. And so clearly he was a horrible, terrible person, deserving of God's judgment and God's damnation, and most certainly not deserving of anyone's care or concern or compassion. And so he had to leave everything he knew, everything he loved, everything he had ever worked for. He had to leave it behind. No human being would ever touch him again. And as he went, wherever he went after that, he had to shout out, "Unclean, unclean," so that people could get away from him as far as possible, so that he wouldn't contaminate them. And over time, these scaly white patches turned into big, ugly lumps all over his body, in his face, making him unrecognizable. These lumps burst open and became festering open sores, oozing a foul stench. It was the stench of death. His eyebrows fell off. His vocal cords became so full of ulcers that he spoke only in a raspy voice. His breathing became heavy and wheezy. He lost feelings in his fingers and his toes, which meant that he cut and burnt and damaged himself without realizing it. And septicemia and gangrene set in. He was hideous to look at, dying with excruciating physical pain, and no one cared. No one could care. He was completely alone. Then one day, he heard rumors in the lepers' camp. "There's a man," they say, "that is doing miracles. There's a man that is healing people, lame people, blind people. There is even some far-fetched story about water being turned into wine. Some say he is a teacher. Some say he's a prophet. Others even wonder whether this man could be the Messiah, the deliverer promised to Israel. And so a little piece of desperate hope jumped into the leper's heart. Could this man heal him? Could this man restore him to his family? He knew he would have to go and ask him. He would have to try. But it would be risky because the townspeople would not be happy to see him, and they would most likely physically attack him and drive him away. He also knew that there were big people, big fishermen traveling with this teacher, and they would not be happy to see a cursed leprous man either. It would be dangerous, but he had to try because this man, Jesus, was his very last hope. Luke 5, verse 12. In one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. When the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground, begging to be healed. Lord, he said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. What a powerful story, just contained in a few verses. But what a powerful reminder to you and I of who Jesus is and what he can do and wants to do in our lives and why we can trust him fully. And I want to encourage us this morning. I don't know what you are facing. I don't know the challenges you are going through. I don't know your fears and concerns for the future, but I do know that we serve a God that is willing and is able to help you. And so this morning, I want to speak to you on the fact that yes, God can and God will come through for you. Amen. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is God and that he came to earth to show us what God is like, what the heart of God is like. And in John 10, Jesus says this, I and the Father are one. In John 14, he says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And then so powerfully in Hebrews 1, we are reminded that the Son, which is Jesus, radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. And so looking at the story of Jesus and the leper, We are reminded why God can and God will help us. Because first of all, God is a God of compassion. And to have compassion means to have sympathy and concern for the suffering and misfortunes of others. And we serve a personal God who cares for us and who is deeply concerned for us. And in that story, we are told that Jesus reached out and touched the leper. The Bible doesn't tell us, but there would have been a shock wave that rippled through the crowd that saw this. You could have heard them gasp and pull in their breath. What Jesus is doing? What? He touched the man. Because no one touched a leper. You did not do it, especially if you were a religious teacher. You did not touch him. Because first of all, you'd be worried that you catch the same disease. But secondly, a leper was seen as an unclean sinner. And for you to touch an unclean sinner would mean that you too would become unclean in the sight of God, which then meant you would have to go through this whole complicated cleansing ritual to become clean again and in right standing with God. So you just wouldn't do it. And this leper was hideous to look at, let alone touch. And if you think about it, Jesus could have healed him without touching him. He could have just spoken the word. Because there's many times in Scripture where we are told that Jesus just spoke the word and someone got healed. But Jesus didn't. He touched the man. And he didn't just tap him on the shoulder. Because the word in Greek that Luke uses for touch is a word that means to fasten to or to lay hold of. In other words, Jesus grabbed hold of this man when he healed him. Why? Because he had compassion on him. Mark also records this story in his gospel, and this is how he puts it in chapter 1. He says, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. Jesus was moved with compassion for this man that had suffered so dreadfully. He felt deeply for him. And you know, when things go wrong in our lives, when things don't work out and we feel overwhelmed by what's going on, it is so easy to go, God, where are you? Why aren't you hearing my prayers? Why aren't you listening? Do you see me? Do you even care? But can I remind us this morning, God sees you, God cares for you, and God is moved with compassion for you. God reminds us in Isaiah 54, he says, though the mountains be shaken, in other words, everything shaken in your world, and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. God cares deeply for you, and he hears every single prayer we pray. Whether it is a prayer about some life-threatening situation, or whether it is a prayer simply about the deep desires in our hearts, God knows and he cares. And I came across this story, the true story of a pastor who had a kitten. And this kitten climbed up into a tree in his backyard, and then the kitten wouldn't come down the tree. And so the pastor tried everything. He tried to coax him. He put some milk out. This kitten was not having any of it. He was stuck up in this tree. And the tree was just big enough so that the kitten was out of reach, but the tree was also young enough so that it would break if the pastor tried to climb the tree. So what to do? So the pastor decided, okay, he was going to tie a rope to the tree and to the back of his car. And he would just slowly drive forward and try and bend the tree down so that he could then reach the kitten. So he did that, and then he would take a few steps forward with the car, get out, check, no, still too high, and he would do this again. So he kept doing it, and eventually he thought, I'm almost there, just a little bit further, and the tree would be bent down far enough to reach the kitten. So he drove forward, but unfortunately the rope broke. The tree went boing, and the kitten instantly sailed through the air out of sight. The pastor felt very bad. He walked all over the neighborhood asking people if they'd seen a little kitten. No, nobody had seen a kitten. So he prayed, Lord, I just commit this kitten to your keeping. And he went on about his business. A few days later, he was at the grocery store, and he met Melissa Jefferson, one of his church members. He happened to look into her shopping cart, and he was amazed to see cat food. Knowing she hated cats, he asked her, why are you buying cat foods when you hate cats so much? She replied, you won't believe this, and told him how her little girl Megan had been begging her for a cat, but she kept refusing. Then a few days before, the girl had begged again, and so the mom finally told the little girl, well, if God gives you a cat from heaven, I'll let you keep it. So you can guess the rest. She told the pastor, I watched my little girl go out in the yard, get on her knees, and ask God for a kitty cat. And really, Pastor, you won't believe this, but I saw it with my own eyes. A kitten suddenly came flying out of the blue sky with its paws straight out and landed right in front of her. God hears and God cares. Amen. He is a God of compassion. And maybe today you are trusting God for something a bit bigger and a bit more serious than a kitten. And maybe you just need to know today and hear again that God loves you and God cares for you. But there is a great message from God to us in Isaiah 49 verse 15. And he says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. You know, human mothers, they say the love of a human mother is the most strongest, deepest of care and affection and compassion that a human being can have. But God is saying that his love and his care and his compassion for us is way more than the most loving mother on earth. That is the God who sees you and who cares for you. And D.L. Moody, he was an evangelist, and he was also the founder and president of the Moody Bible Institute. He spoke of God, and he said this: His is a loving, tender hand, full of sympathy and compassion. And so this morning, take courage today that God can and God will come through for you, because He's a God of compassion. But also, number two, because God is all-powerful. We don't serve a weak God that is sorry for us and loves us but actually can't do anything to help us. We serve the creator of the universe, the one who spoke the galaxy into being, and there is nothing too hard for Him. You know, when the man with leprosy came to Jesus, he asked him, "Are you willing?" He didn't ask him, "Jesus, are you strong enough? Are you powerful enough to cure me of my leprosy?" He didn't ask the question because it wasn't a question. The power of Jesus was evident. There was no questioning the fact that He was all powerful. And so not only do we serve a God who is full of compassion for us, but we serve a God who is well able to see us through whatever we need to be seen through. Now, if you've been reading along in the 366-day daily devotional this year, you would have seen a scripture highlighted last week, and it was Jeremiah 50, and God reminding us. He says to us, "Who is like me, and who can challenge me? What ruler can oppose my will?" And then the devotional went on to say that in boxing, there is a term that is used to describe a man who completely dominates his weight category and has beaten every opponent that has challenged him for the title. And such a man that is completely unchallenged is referred to as the undisputed champion of the world. But when it comes to God, we can rightly say that God is the undisputed champion of the universe. Amen? And it's good, and my husband goes on to remind us in that devotional that there is no power in heaven or on earth that can overpower God. There is none. There is no disease and no sickness and no problem that you might be facing that God is not powerful enough to overcome that for you. Amen. And last weekend, we heard such a good message about Psalm 91, living under God's protection. And if you didn't hear that message, I want to encourage you to either get the CD at the Resource Center or download it for free from our website. Because God is our protector. Why? Because God is all-powerful. Amen. And years ago, a young boy traveling by aeroplane, he was traveling on the aeroplane because he was going to visit his grandparents. And he happened to sit next to a man who was a professor at a Bible college. And so the boy was reading, you know, at Kids Zone and Sunday school, they give them little pieces of pamphlets to take home with some information. So the boy was sitting reading that on the plane. And the professor thought he would have some fun with him. And he said, "Young man, if you can tell me something God can do, I will give you a big, shiny apple." And the boy thought for a moment and then replied, "Mister, if you can tell me something God can't do, I'll give you a whole barrel of apples." Isn't that right? The prophet Jeremiah says this to God in chapter 32. He says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. There is nothing too difficult or too wonderful for you." Jesus reminds us in Luke 18, "The things that are impossible with people are possible with God." And then I love Romans 8, verse 11. It reminds us that the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. And so what a thought that is, the same Spirit, the same power that raised the lifeless body of Christ back to life, that power is in you and me, working in our bodies and working through our lives. Amen. And so we can take comfort in that this morning. Yes, God can and God will, because He is a God of compassion, but He is also an all-powerful God. But thirdly, God is sovereign. And when we say God is sovereign, it means that God is the supreme authority and all things are under His control, which means that God is in charge. He knows what to do, how to do it, and when to do it, because he knows best. And I'm sure, you know, thinking about that man with leprosy, when those white spots first appeared on his body, I'm pretty sure he was praying then for healing. And when those lumps appeared and they burst open and he was out in the wilderness at the lepers' camp, I'm pretty sure he was praying desperate, furious prayers to God to heal him. Now, did God care about him when the white spots first appeared? Absolutely. Was God able to heal him even then in the first stages of leprosy? Yes, again. But God didn't. Because God is sovereign. And God knew what he wanted to do in that man's life and through that man's life. And God knew the timeline that he wanted to do it in. You know, when things go wrong in our lives, when we feel overwhelmed, we start praying desperate prayers. And we want God to fix it right now the way we want it done. But God is not a genie in a lamp, therefore at our commands, at our fingertips, doing it what we want, when we want, how we want it. He doesn't work like that. And so often his answers to our prayers do not look like we would have thought. Like we would have answered our own prayers way differently. But does that mean God doesn't care? Does it mean that he's unable to help us? No, it doesn't. And I came across a great story that happened during World War II. And there was a U.S. Marine that was separated from his unit on a Pacific island. And the fighting had been intense. And in the smoke and the crossfire, he had lost touch with his comrades. And so now he found himself alone in the jungle, and he could hear enemy soldiers coming in his direction. Scrambling for cover, he found his way up a high ridge to where there were several small caves in the rock. And he quickly crawled inside one of the caves. And although he was safe for the moment, he realized that once the enemy soldiers came looking for him up on the ridge, they would quickly search all the caves, and he would be killed. And as he waited, he prayed and he said, "Lord, if it is your will, please protect me. Whatever your will, though, I love you and trust you. Amen." And after praying, he lay there quietly listening to the enemy drawing closer. And he thought, "Well, I guess the Lord isn't going to help me out of this one." And just then he saw a spider begin to build a web over the front of the cave. And as he was lying there listening to the enemy looking for him, he was watching the spider layering strand after strand of this thin web across the opening of the cave. "Ha," he thought, "what I need is a brick wall, and what the Lord has sent me is a spider web." God does have a sense of humor. And as the enemy drew closer, he watched from the darkness of his hideout, and he could see them searching one cave after another. And as they came to him, he got ready to make his last stand. To his amazement, however, after glancing in the direction of the cave, they moved on. And suddenly he realized that with a spider web over the entrance, his cave looked as if no one had entered it for a while. "Lord, forgive me," prayed the young man. "I had forgotten that in you, a spider's web is stronger than a brick wall." Isn't that encouraging? God is sovereign, and he knows what is best because he sees the bigger picture and we don't. You know, I love the illustration of the tapestry, comparing the tapestry to our lives, because in life, all we see is the back of the tapestry. We see the messiness and the confusion, and we see things happening in our lives, and it doesn't make sense, and it's all like just bits of thread everywhere. It's a jumble. We can't see what's going on. We only see the back of the tapestry, but God sees the front of the tapestry. God sees the picture that he is busy working in and through our lives, the good that he wants to do for us. And every now and again, he will give us a glimpse of what it is he is doing, the picture he is creating. But most times, he just lets us get on with it in the back of the tapestry. So where does that leave you and I then? Well, it leaves us with trusting God. Because number four, our job is to trust God. When all is said and done, that is what it boils down to, trusting God. And our faith and our trust in God is not based on our feelings, which change not even every day. If you're a woman, it changes like every hour. And our faith and our trust is not based on our current circumstances, and it's not even based on our past experiences. Our faith and our trust in God is based on the Word of God and who God tells us that He is in the Bible. And in the Bible, He tells us that He is a God of compassion, that He is all-powerful, that He cares for us, and that He can make a way. And in Philippians 4, Paul reminds us, he says, "This same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." That's a promise. And in 2 Corinthians 1, we are reminded all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And so whatever happens to us, we need to be in the position where our first response is, "I trust you, God." And where our last response is, "I trust you, God. I don't understand what's going on right now. I am hurting. This is painful. I can't see my way through. But God, I trust you. I trust that you are good, that you will do good to me, and that you are all powerful. You can help me." But here's the thing. It is hard to trust God in tough times when we have not been in the habit of walking close to God. Last weekend, we heard about walking in the shadow of God's protection, just like a superstar would walk in the shadow of her bodyguard. That is how close we need to be walking to God. Otherwise, it's very hard to trust Him when things get tough. It's also very hard to stand on the promises of God if those promises are not inside of us. And Romans 10 tells us this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we can have faith in God and we can have trust in God when we have been spending time with Him in His Word. And I came across a great story of the power of the Bible. And Mr. Gaylord Kambarami used to be the General Secretary of the Bible Society in Zimbabwe. And I'm not sure if he's still the General Secretary of the Bible Society, but back then he was. And he shared this story about the Bible. He says, "In 1995, I went to the Marewa rural areas to distribute copies of the Shona New Testament. In one village, a headman refused to take it. He said he couldn't stand the Word of God. I said, 'Why?' And he said, 'Because it pollutes people.' So he refused to buy it. I told him that he could have it and just give it to someone else. He said he could only accept it if I allowed him to use the pages of the New Testament for smoking purposes. In the rural areas, you know, people use newspaper and whatever else they can find to roll their cigarettes. I said, 'Fine, on one condition: read each page before you smoke.' He accepted this because he was literate. And so I left the book with him and didn't think about it very much after that. Then in 97, I took a return trip to the Marewa area. We had a convention there under a big tent, and I was invited to speak, and I told the people how this book could change people's lives. Now, the same man whom I had given the New Testament to smoke was in the audience, and before the closing of the service, he stood up and said, 'Please, let me say a few words to Mr. Kambarami.' He was dressed smart in a suit, and I did not recognize him at first. And he said, 'This man does not remember me, because when I last saw him, I was a drunkard. But he came to our village and persuaded me to take the Bible. I told him I would use the paper to roll cigarettes. But I promised to read each page before doing so, which I did. So I smoked my way through Matthew, and I smoked the whole of Mark 2. Then I smoked Luke. I started smoking John. But when I came to John 3:16, a light shone in my face. And now I am a church-going person. I saw the light.'" Amen. We build faith and trust in our lives when we read the Word of God. And we cannot survive without it. Don't smoke it. Just read it. But in Matthew 4, Jesus says this, and He reminds us, the Scriptures say, "People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And in Proverbs 4, God tells us in such a beautiful way through the writer, he says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body." God can and God will, because He is a compassionate God, He is all-powerful, and He is sovereign. We just need to trust Him. And I want to close with today with a story that an American pastor, James Brown, shared. And he tells this story. He says, "Some years ago when I was learning to fly, my instructor told me to put the plane into a steep and extended dive. I was totally unprepared for what was about to happen, because after a brief time, the engine stalled and the plane began to plunge out of control. It soon became evident that the instructor was not going to help me at all. And after a few seconds, which seemed like eternity, my mind began to function again, and I quickly corrected the situation. Immediately, I turned to the instructor and began to vent my fearful frustrations on him. But he very calmly said to me, 'There is no position you can get this airplane into that I cannot get you out of. If you want to learn to fly, go up there and do it again.' And at that moment, God seemed to be saying to me, 'Remember this, as you serve me, there is no situation you can get yourself into that I cannot get you out of. If you trust me, you will be all right.'"
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.